Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but remember when you were a kid and your mom or your dad, I'm going to use my dad in this for this sermon, but you're free to insert your mom if that you prefer. It's on your own. Freedom of a Christian. You know, sometimes you knew your parents were watching, you know, and sometimes if, you know, maybe your brother or your sister was, you know, your lookout, you know, mom's watching or dad's watching, you know, and you had to watch out for them because they were watching you, right? And other times, you know, as you're growing up, it's like, hey, dad, watch this. Watch me do this. Or, you know, maybe your dad came to your basketball game or something and you were happy to see him there. Hey, watch this. You know, or how about this? The famous one, right, is, look, mom, no hands, right? Or you're riding a bike. Good news. Well, I've got some good news and some bad news for you, too. The bad news is that the shepherd is watching. The good news is that the shepherd is watching. Does the shepherd know how important it is for us sheep to do our sheep-like thing? To wander after those succulent greens over in the next pasture rather than the ones where we are? To walk to the place that we have set, the place where we want to go? Maybe to move to the front of the herd or to the front of the flock, shoulder out the other guy. Pretend maybe that we're the one who's leading. We want to follow that voice that's kind of our own imagination. How hard it is to be a sheep. As a sheep, our creativity is stunted. I can't do what I want, Mom. I can't do what I want, Dad. Our independent thinking is crushed into conformity, and I must do what they say. Our abilities are unappreciated. Hey, look, Mom, no hands. And what we think is our marvelous contribution that we're going to give to the world seems like it's hidden when we're kept in our appointed place. Wouldn't it be great to be free and make our own decisions, we think? To go our own way, to have our own spotlight. Should I have a spotlight here for tonight? Get our own spotlight and attend to our own needs. Wouldn't it be great to go to those pastures of our own choosing and climb the hills of our own desires? The bad news that the shepherd is watching. The bad news. We don't like the shepherd watching us, telling us what we can't do, what we shouldn't do. But we don't like the shepherd watching us until we fall. Until we wander into those box canyons and fall into unmarked pits that we weren't aware of. Until we find the limits of our own abilities. Until we find the consequences of our own choices. You might say the painful dead ends of our own self-serving decisions. Oh, how good it is then to know that the shepherd is watching. The shepherd who never sleeps. Shepherd who never turns away, the shepherd who never gives up on us, the shepherd who never leaves us alone, the shepherd who never abandons us to the paths that we've chosen, the shepherd who never stops watching and waiting and calling us. The good news is that the shepherd is watching. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. But maybe you and I don't likely run into many shepherds in your life. I've known one. But shepherds were particularly important in Jesus' world. Even though it was a very lowly job, sometimes they said, "You're so unclean, shepherd, I can't even deal with you." It was a very important position in the community, because the shepherd would gather everyone's from the town's flocks and take them out to the green pastures, lead them to the right pastures, take care of them, defend them, and then bring them back. So they were safe in the sheepfold at night. And when the shepherd led, the sheep did not decide to take a vote on whether they were going to follow the shepherd. They went. They went because they trusted the shepherd. They followed him. As Jesus' sheep, we don't gather and vote on whether to follow. The good shepherd knows where to lead us, and we know to follow him. In those days, the shepherd was expected to lay down his life for the sheep. He protected them, whatever the threat was. And the sheep did not question his ability to care for them. They trusted. They followed. And they depended on the shepherd to do whatever was necessary to keep them safe. As Jesus' sheep, we depend on our good shepherd to take care of us. "The Lord is my shepherd," we say in Psalm 23. Our shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, guaranteeing that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And that's you, fellow sheep. In those days, the shepherd knew his sheep and they knew him. Sometimes flocks from several shepherds would get mixed up together as they sought new pastures together. But the sheep knew their shepherd. He could just simply stand aside and call, and they recognized his voice. They would come to him. And we recognize our shepherd's voice. He comes to us in his word. And it's a word that we share together as fellow believers, fellow sheep. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus calls us to follow him. Do you hear? As you may know, the word pastor means shepherd. And my dad was a pastor. And he never asked me to follow him in becoming a pastor. Good thing, because I probably wouldn't have for sure if he did. But he did always point me to Jesus, the good shepherd. And once in a while, when I was just a little kid, I would crawl up into my dad's lap. And he had this old manuscript that I guess my grandfather had written about how to teach Greek. Like, my grandfather thought, "I'll send this to the seminary and this is how they'll teach Greek." Well, I think I was the only student that used that manuscript. My dad started to teach me Greek. Not that it did any good, but I want to tell you this, because my favorite word that I learned was a word that appears in John 10:27. I didn't know that at the time. My favorite word in Greek was akouzi. Akouzi, which means "they hear." I thought it was just cool because it says akouzi. You try it. Aku'uzi. One more time. Aku'uzi. Isn't it fun? I thought it was fun. It appears in John 10:27. They hear. Well, a couple of years after my dad died, I found myself in seminary studying John 10:27. I had to translate it. I thought, okay, here's this word. I actually know this word. Okay, akutuzi. I even said it out loud. And I learned that it can take a couple of slightly different meanings, depending on whether it's followed in the genitive case or the accusative case. In one case, it simply means they hear, like they hear the sounds. Okay? They hear the sounds, but that's it. It's kind of like hearing the sounds of the words in another language. Here's John 10:27 in Greek, if you'll pardon my Greek. Ta probata ta ema tes phones mu akousin kago genosko auta kai akathulas. Akaluthusin mu. All right. As you can see, I didn't get that good in Greek. What does it sound like to you? It just sounds like sounds, right? You heard the sounds. Okay? The other meaning, in the other case, means they hear and they understand. They hear and they listen. You know the difference if you've ever been a parent or if you've ever been a kid. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Listening and acknowledging the meaning and actually responding as if you heard and listened. So I guess the question for you is, Jesus calls us, he calls you to follow. Do you hear just the sounds of that? Or do you hear and understand and listen to what he's saying to you? Because our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you wonderful words of love and forgiveness, words of eternal life. If there are ever words that you need to listen to the words of Jesus Christ, who says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. And it's not by wandering around through your life or through my life as if I have no purpose. As if I hear the sounds of every other shepherd out there and it's just white noise or, I don't know, care whatever color noise you want. And it's just noise. This is not just noise, it's words with a purpose. The greatest purpose in the world. For you. To give you forgiveness and life. And he simply says to you, follow me. Follow. Take the steps that I've taken, just some of them. You don't have to go to the cross. But you do have to forgive. And it may hurt to forgive. It may hurt. Because you're giving something up. You are giving something up by forgiving. Yes. You're releasing something. You're giving up a little of your freedom to hold on to that grudge or that hate or that bad feeling or a particular emotion. Give it up. Be freed from that. Be lifted up and inspired by Christ and what He has done for you. And that's your shepherd talking to you. Forgive as I have forgiven you. That's how we follow Him. That's how we actually experience some peace here on earth. In our families, in our schools, in our workplace, in our country. Our good shepherd knows when we stray. When we stray after the things that we think will make us happy, or the things that make us sad and hard inside that we don't want to give up. Our good shepherd knows that. And He comes to us, He comes to you, and He calls to you. And He says, I give this to you. You are mine now. I paid the price on the cross for you. I've laid down my life for you, sheep. And I've taken it back up again. I have authority to do so because the Father gave me authority to do that, says Jesus. And I do it for you so that you may be lifted up, raised to eternal life, and able to live in peace even here on earth. When we call Jesus our good shepherd, we're naming Him as the one that we know, the one that we listen to, the one that we understand and follow, the one that we trust, the one who brings us forgiveness and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.